Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Jennifer, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and today is Thanksgiving. Welcome. I'm glad that you're here. Whether you're listening to me on this busy Thanksgiving day or another time, it's Thanksgiving here in sunny Southern California. We had light sprinkling. The little fairy, rain fairies came through last night and gave us, at least in our area, a pretty light sprinkling of rain. It was nice. Things aren't too soaked. It's just refreshing to have that, isn't it? And I've got homemade cinnamon rolls and almost ready to go in the oven. The oven's warming up and the house smells like cinnamon because I ran out of fresh cinnamon. Not fresh, what's it called? Ground up cinnamon. So I had to get some sticks out and I threw them into the coffee spice grinder and buzzed up my own cinnamon this morning. It was really loud. It actually jammed the spice grinder this morning and it just sounded like I was, you know, killing a cat or something in there. Just, anyway. So the house smells really beautifully this morning of fresh ground cinnamon and brown sugar and butter and all the good stuff. And in a minute, it'll smell like puff pastry cinnamon rolls, fresh from the oven. And so I have time right now to let that set and get it nice and ready to go for the oven. I thought this would be the perfect time to get my Bible study in before the day goes and we meet up with family. So whenever it is that you are listening, I hope that you're having a wonderful Thanksgiving or that you've had one and enjoyed your time with friends and family and enjoyed some good food and all the wonderful things that make Thanksgiving so special, mostly just hanging out and being with family, right? Well, let's go ahead and get started. Today is lesson 5, and we're on day 3 today. We're going to be jumping right into Ephesians 5, 21 through 6. Well, I'm going to have you read through 6, 9. That's what it says on the notes here. And I just obey whatever the lady who wrote this says to do. let me go ahead and clear my, whatever that fuzzy thing was on my computer keyboard. Let me go ahead and pray and then let's get started with our lesson. Father God, we thank you so much for so many things. And what a beautiful time today to just bow our heads and think about all the many blessings that we have in our life and how grateful we are for what you've done for us. The wonderful friends that we have, our family that we love so much. Thank you for all those good things. Thank you for the challenges you bring into our life as well. And they draw us closer to you, remind us of your love and faithfulness, your mercy and grace and sovereignty. We thank you for that as well. I just lift up everyone listening to my voice right now. Whatever they're going through, whatever their heart is troubled by, or whatever their mind is confused by, I pray that today would be a time of peace and focus and love. That we would hear from your word today and be reminded of your great, amazing, centering love for us. And Lord, thank you for just the blessing of this Bible study. And I'm very thankful this morning for all my friends who do this Bible study with me. Bless them today with their family and friends as well. And go before us now in this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanksgiving. Every day is Thanksgiving. And we learned that, of course, in our previous chapter, to be thankful in all things. If you haven't already listened to the talk from the previous lesson, I'd encourage you to do that. I just felt like God had a lot to say, and I enjoyed giving the talk. I enjoyed sharing what God had blessed me through and learning through this passage, and I want you to go ahead and listen to that, and let me know what you think, too. Let's go ahead and switch over here to our lesson on the screen. And I'll get the Bible verse called up in just a second as well. Hold on. I can get these off there so that'll take up less screen space, right? All right. So again, lesson 5, day 3. We're going to be reading through Ephesians 5, 21 through 6, 9 from the Amplified version of the Bible. I've grown to really love that. It was a version I think I've shared with you before that my father introduced me to. I haven't heard back from you, and I keep on forgetting to look it up when the Amplified version was first published, but I just know that it was something that we grew up with, so I'm sure it's been a while since it's been out. Here we go. Let's go ahead and read this, and then we'll make sure we practice our memory verse. Being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as a service to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church, himself being the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives should be subject to their husbands in everything, respecting both their position as protector and their responsibility to God as head of the house. Husbands, love your wives. Seek the highest good for her and surround her with caring, unselfish love, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her so that he might sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word of God, so that in turn he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy, set apart for God and blameless. Even so, husbands should and are morally obligated to love their own wives as being, in a sense, their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his body, but instead he nourishes and protects and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members, parts of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined and be faithfully devoted to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery of the two becoming one is great, but I am speaking with reference to the relationship of Christ and the church. However, each man among you, without exception, is to love his wife as his very own self, with behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her with an attitude of loving kindness. And the wife must see to it that she respects and delights in her husband, that she notices him and prefers him and treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honoring him, and holding him dear. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That is, accept their guidance and discipline as his representatives, for this is right. For obedience teaches wisdom and self-discipline. Honor, esteem, value as precious your father and your mother, and be respectful to them. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your earthly masters with respect for authority and with a sincere heart, seeking to please them as service to Christ, not in the way of eye service, working only when someone is watching you and only to please men, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart, rendering service with goodwill as to the Lord and not only to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive this back from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. You masters do the same, showing goodwill toward them, and give up threatening and abusive words, knowing that he who is both their true master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him, regardless of one's earthly status. There's our passage for today, and I'm looking here. It says the copyright is 2015 by the Lockman Foundation, but that's the updated Amplified version. I don't know when the original one was. That's probably the updated online version. Let's go ahead and switch over to the ESV. Get ready for that. That'll be what we use to do our, study with and all that. Let me go ahead and get my coffee while it's loading. Oh, I got hazelnut coffee this morning. So yummy. All right. And our verse is, it's not in here. That's right. Our verse is, I'll just read it from the Bible, because our verse is later on in chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. I just looked down at my fingers and I realized I have brown sugar and cinnamon on my fingers. Just a little bit, not too much. And a little bit of butter from making my cinnamon rolls this morning. Anyway, I'm going to have a very flavorful Bible passage. The aroma will trigger the remembrance of this passage with you today. All right, let's go ahead up to our beginning of our verse, and I'm going to switch over to lesson 5. Here we go. And make sure you write your verse in that box above. It's really good to get in the habit of writing it. If that's not something you've been faithful in doing, do that with this final lesson. Just get everything done to the T and finish this lesson strong and write out that verse each day and go ahead and try to write and memorize the whole chunk that we've been memorizing throughout Ephesians. All right, here we go. Paul's wrap up from the previous passage is also an instruction. Introduction to the next passage. What does Paul tell us to do and on what basis in 5:21? Well, very simply, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So what are we told to do? Submit to one another on the basis of our reverence for Christ. So let's clarify. Who is to submit to whom? So taking a look at that again, one another. We're all to submit to one another. It's pretty simple on that. All right. So in this section, 5:22-6:9, Paul breaks down some details for several relationships and how, as children of light, each one should live out their calling and how to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. We're going to sweep over this passage today, then come back and zoom in closer on days 4 and 5. So today is a broad overview, and then we're going to come back in and focus in on that much more. All right, so let's go ahead and begin here. List the behavioral expectations and the theological rationale. Big words there for you. The theological rationale for each member as Paul describes in these verses. Read the following from the ESV as well as the Amplified Version if possible. Let's see, did I make that available? Yeah, I did. I did it side by side. If you email me, I will give you the link to this, and then you'll be able to open it up online. When you open it up online, I mean, you can print it from the PDF that I can send you through the email, but if you just open it up online, it will open up and all the links are hyperlinks. So you'll be able to click through and it'll just open up all that. That's why when you look at it, sometimes you'll see like it's a little bit faded looking and then underlined. That's because in the color version, it's blue and hyperlinked. Anyway, here we go. Ephesians lesson 5, behavior. And then the rationale for that behavior. So we have in verses 21 through 24, and then we're going to hit 23. So let's go ahead and take a look at that, 21 through 24. And then I also want to hit verse 33. 33 says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. It's just like this culminating reminder, wrapping the whole thing all up there. So the behavior that we see, it feels like I'm not sharing the right screen. Let me reset that. And normally I see like a green line around it. Anyway, I'm sure it's there, right? Oh, hopefully. All right. The behavior and the rationale. For the wives, submitting to one another is the behavior. Again, we're gonna make sure we start with verse 21. Submitting to one another. Submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands. Rationale, out of reverence for Christ. That's always the rationale. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself his Savior. So there's the rationale. Submitting to one another for husbands. Let's take a look. So again, the behavior is the same. Submitting to one another. Love wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. Love wives as their own bodies. So as much as a man loves his own body, he's saying, look, love your wife in that same way. And the rationale, the same rationale, out of reverence for Christ. This comes from verse 21. And then as Christ loved the church sacrificially, as his own bodies, and nourished and cherished like Christ to the church. Okay, so this whole model of behavior. So moving over now to children, fathers, bondservants, masters. Let's take a look at behavior and rationale for all of that. For the behavior, again, same verse, 5:21, submitting to one another. This is the overall covering verse for this entire passage. Submitting to one another, rationale, out of reverence for Christ. So for children, submit to one another, all of those in your life. As children are responsible to God as well, to behave themselves, to behave correctly in the season that they are in the home. And of course, as they grow up and become adult children, obey your parents, honor your mother and father. All right. So this is children in the home. Again, in the rationale, do this in the Lord. This is right. It's a first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you would live long. So Paul brings in this whole promise from the Old Testament. Fathers, submit to one another. So again, in the body of Christ, there is I picture it like that game you used to play, the get to know you game you might have played at camp or maybe at a retreat or maybe at a work team building event where someone has, oh, I should have grabbed it. Hey, it's a little teeny tiny little string I have. Somebody might have a spool of yarn and they start here and they say something about themselves. You know, I'm a good listener. And then they toss it across the room and they hold on to one string and they send it across the room and they pass it off to somebody else. And someone says, I'm really good at fine point details, let's say. And they hang on to a string and they toss the ball to someone else. And now we've got a string going across the room. And by the end, everyone's sharing their strengths right? Or their name and what's going on with them. And we get to know each other, right? But you've got this web of all these interconnected strings. That is how I picture this mutual submission. Everyone's connected. Everyone's submitting to one another. Another visual to think about it this way is when I was in school, we used to do square dancing. Did you guys ever do that? Have fun square dancing, and they'd play the Virginia reel, or someone would call out a fun song, and he'd call out the moves, and there's the sashaying, and there's moving, and everyone bowing and dancing and curtsying and going over each other and under and spinning around and coming back to as couples, and then spreading out and connecting with other people and passing hand to hand, submitting to one another. It's like a beautiful dance. So fathers submitting to one another, don't provoke your children to anger. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It says, out of reverence for Christ, of course, is our rationale. Bring children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I want to look at that one over in the Amplified Version. I love the wording there. It says, children, fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children. Do not exasperate them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I'm going to hit up here, and I'm going to do one other version of that. Let's see if it's called up first. J.B. Phillips. Let's see what the Phillips says. He's awesome the way he words things too. Men, children, fathers, do not overcorrect your children or make it difficult for them to obey the commandment. Bring them up with Christian teaching in Christian discipline. Love that. Love that. I believe in the NASB, maybe let's see. Here's a New International. Look at the NAS, New American Standard. This is the one I grew up with. Nurture. Let's see what this says here. Discipline and instruction of the Lord. Same concept there. Love it. Okay. So fathers, children, and now bondservants and masters. What's the behavior? Once again, the behavior is this interconnected behavior, submitting to one another. All right. Obey earthly masters with fear and trembling, sincere heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord, and not to man. And again, the rationale, same rationale, out of reverence to the Lord, because with the rationale and the overall behavior comes from 5:21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Everyone's submitting, right? Out of reverence for Christ, as bondservants of Christ, right? You're a slave to him anyway. Right? Your earthly master is just the middleman in a sense, doing the will of God from the heart. All right? What is the will of God? Thanksgiving, behavior, keeping the commandments, loving him, serving him. That's God's will. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. And then behavior also would be not only the positive admonition, but the negative, which would be don't just give eye service. Don't be difficult, right? That's the negative stuff. Masters, submit to one another. Once again, there's your behavior from 5:21. And then do the same back to the bondservants. Don't disrespect them. Don't mistreat them. Don't threaten them with your word or deed or however you treat them. Don't do that. And the rationale, once again, out of reverence for Christ, comes from chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ is the interconnectedness, how we're supposed to behave in the body of Christ. Now, the rationale again for masters is he who is both the master of is your master in heaven. You're his master, but God is your master up in heaven. All right. So let's move on to this next section. Looking back on 5:21, what is the motive for all this mutual submission? Reverence for Christ. Hopefully you're reading that going, I got the picture now. In case you missed it, in going through all of that, what is the motive for all this mutual submission? Reverence for Christ. So connect also what Paul has said earlier in his warnings and admonitions. If we're fulfilling 5:21, what will we also avoid 4:30 and fulfill in 5:1-2? Well, in 4:30 he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We will avoid doing that if we are out of reverence for Christ, mutually submitting to one another. And what else in 5:1-2, our memory verse, imitators of God, we will walk in love just as Christ loved us. And then what happens? Fragrant offering to him. Beautiful. All right. So how is this passage a more detailed and practical teaching on what Paul has revealed in chapter 3, verse 6 and 4:1-6? Let me click over to that. This is the mystery, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And 4:1-6, I, therefore, a prisoner of God, of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, so over all, through all, and in all. Are you feeling the dance? Are you feeling the mutual submission? Are you feeling this connectedness that we have together in the body of Christ? I really hope you do. All right. So this passage here then takes what he's saying in how we're to walk in a worthy manner and say, this is what it ends up looking like in real life. You as wives, you as husbands, children and fathers, or even parents, really, slaves and masters, all the interconnectedness of our relationships. That's what it looks like to walk in a manner worthy. It's mutual submission. It's caring for one another. It's truly loving one another. It's making sure that we're reflecting the glory and the grace and the love of God and the unity that we have in the Lord. All right. Well, let's go ahead and close with this final thought. Maybe you've heard of him. One of my favorite poets is Shel Silverstein. Among his many lovely, fun, and poignant poems is Hug of War. It goes like this. I will not play at tug of war. I'd rather play at hug of war, where everyone hugs instead of tugs, where everyone giggles and rolls on the rug, where everyone kisses and everyone grins and everyone cuddles and everyone wins. The natural outflow of a Christian being filled with the Holy Spirit is a biblical version of Silverstein's idyllic scenario of hugging instead of tugging. It's filled with grinning and giggling and rolling and kissing and everyone winning. Sounds silly? Naive even? Without Christ, it is. With Christ, it is a delightful way to see how Christians engage. We sing, we love, we defer to one another. We're filled with thankfulness and joy and light and rich words that uplift and encourage. We don't tug and tear and assert our own way. To bring another image into this, it's like a dance hall with all the dancers swaying and sashaying, skipping and dipping and passing over and under one another in time to the melody. I see the church and our families and our work relations moving like this when we are all looking to God as our conductor, Christ as our example, and the Holy Spirit as our indwelling source. What a vision of true Christianity when we all mutually submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I hope that's a good image for you. You're heading into Thanksgiving, maybe, or maybe you've just come out of it, whatever you're listening to this today. Let's let that imagery of us, instead of tugging with one another, drawing one another in, moving together. And there's any area of your life today that you realize it's a tug, it's a pull, it's you pushing back, it's pulling away from people, submit that to the Lord. When you sense that in your relationships, come before the Father and say, this isn't right. This isn't how it should be. Especially in the body of Christ, it shouldn't be like that. And let's come together as sisters and brothers in Christ and mutually submit to one another without a sense of hierarchy of someone over somebody else and who's listening to somebody. No, everyone on the dance floor, everyone sashaying, everyone moving back and forth, everyone connected with one another, mutually submitting and living in faithfulness to Christ, our Savior. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you. Thank you, as always, for joining me today in this Bible study. Be sure to like it and follow it on YouTube and Facebook. And if you're on the podcast listening in right now, thank you for that as well. Leave me a comment. Let me know that you've been here. It's always nice to hear from you. And I look forward to our next time together. Until then, know, as always, you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.